I'm nothing if I'm not consistent. I've come to know and enjoy in my life just the beauty of routine, being a creature of habit. I actually kind of delight in that. I go to bed at the same time and wake up at the same time. I have the same processes and routines that lead me throughout each day, the times that I eat, the times that I pray. Certainly there's some variety in the day-to-day, but there are these pathways and processes and routines that I just love because they keep me in order. They keep me in a direction where I'm able to hit the targets that I want to hit. Now, if I didn't have disciplines and routines in my life that helped me achieve those goals that I desired, I'd probably hardly ever hit them. And so I actually delight in just knowing this is the way I do these things, and I don't do them this way. Now, certainly I didn't come out of the womb like this. These are ways that I've grown in maturity, recognizing this is how I want to achieve this. This is the decision I want to make, and then practicing it over and over again so that it becomes firm, it becomes a habit. And the same is true in our life of faith. The pathways and the processes and the routines that I develop as a Christian, they don't just drop out of the sky. It's not something that just comes by nature. When we're baptized, we're not just given all of those things at once, and then I just step into this life of Christian discipleship. It has to become a process. It has to be something that I practice and actually work at. And even that word discipleship, or being a Christian disciple, it has the same root of another word that we hear over and over in our second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews. Discipline. Discipline and discipleship, they're two concepts that have to work together. They have the same root. To be a disciple is to be a student. And so discipline is a certain school or a certain training that a disciple has to go through. The author of the Hebrews, this letter to the Hebrews today, talks about it in this way, saying, "Do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, for whom the Lord loves, he disciplines." Now, to your ears, you might think, I just always thought of discipline as punishment. When I was naughty as a kid, mom and dad disciplined me. They did something that was a punishment. Now, certainly, there might be some truth to that, but discipline is much more than punishment. Like I said, discipline is a training. It's a process by which I learn how to be a disciple, how to live in a certain way, how to put into practice certain routines and certain processes. Now, there's certainly pain and struggle that comes at the front end. The author talks about this. He says, at the time, all discipline seems a cause not for joy, but for pain. We felt that, huh? In your time, you're starting a new process. I'm going to start waking up at this hour, going to sleep at this hour. I'm going to start hitting the gym or learning a musical instrument. There's pain that comes with that, right? But no pain, no gain. If I'm not willing to enter into that pain and discomfort at the front end of this discipline, then I'll never be able to practice it in the freedom that the Lord invites. But then once I've done this over and over and put myself to it, actually taking it on rather than rejecting it, then it becomes a place of joy. It becomes a place of peace and freedom. The author says that next. Yet later, it brings the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who are trained by it. That's what happens once I've put myself to this discipline, to this training. After I've endured the pain and the struggle at the front end, then it becomes routine. It becomes the way I do things. and it points me in the direction that I want to go. You know, think of athletes, think of special ops. They go through certain trainings that in the beginning are difficult, but in the end, they kick in, and then I can rely on my training. I rely on these disciplines that I've practiced over and over, and that makes me more fruitful and successful in the end. But we have to practice. That's why I'm often reminding people, when we say I'm a practicing Catholic, that's what it means. I'm practicing. I'm trying to put myself to these disciplines, and I'm not perfect yet. That's why I'm practicing. I want to practice until I become perfect, until I am reaching a greater place of freedom and love and joy and peace in my discipline and in my faith. And so what does it look like for a Christian disciple to practice discipline? Well, I've stated these things before, but at the risk of repeating myself, I'm going to point out four disciplines that I think are marks of every Christian disciple. That if I want to consider myself a follower of Jesus, these four topics of discipleship ought to be there in some level. And maybe I find that I'm weak in one of them. Okay, then that's the one I need to keep practicing. I keep forming those routines and processes that bring me to a greater place. And so we can look at it as a vertical axis and as a horizontal axis, which cleverly makes the sign of the cross. What we're always doing as Christians, marking ourselves with that sign of salvation, that sign of our Savior. If I want to be his follower, I have to mark myself with the cross. And so I want to look first at this vertical axis, these two disciplines that we can put ourselves to that keep us in greater union and unity with God. So the vertical axis keeping me in union with God, the first is prayer, and the second is sacraments. Prayer and sacraments. These are the two places where the Lord forms us, where he trains us in righteousness. First, we'll start with prayer. If I say I'm a friend to somebody and I don't ever talk to them, that's a pretty lousy friendship. And so if I want to be in greater union with the one whom I love, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, then I want to spend time with God. I want to be talking to God, even just letting him know my burdens and pains and struggles, receiving from him and giving myself back. Now, this is really what prayer looks like in a succinct way, this communication, this communion with God. St. John Eudes, he was a pastor in the 17th century, a great missionary. We celebrated his feast day just this past week, and he has a great line about prayer. He says, just like our bodies are not alive unless they have a throbbing heart in our chest and I'm breathing all that air and taking in nourishment like bread and food. Unless I'm doing those things as a body, I'm dead. And in the same way, the Christian disciple, he has to pray. She has to put herself to this discipline if we want to be alive as Christians. If we want to have that Christianity, that spirituality that is alive and vibrant, prayer is essential, just as essential as a heart and breath and food are to the body. So that first discipline has to be prayer. And then right after it, the sacramental life of the church. This is the way that the Lord does feed us, and he sustains us, and he gives us his divine life. There's those two sacraments we can receive every day, the Eucharist and reconciliation. These are the ordinary places where the Lord gives life. And then certainly at different stages of our life, the other sacraments, sacraments of the healing, of anointing of the sick when I'm severely dangered or ill, the sacraments of baptism and confirmation, those initiations into the church, and then the vocational sacraments of marriage and holy orders. These are the ways that the Lord touches us in tangible, practical ways. We have baptisms right after Mass today, and the water going over those babies truly washes away sin. It truly incorporates them into the body of Christ, just as the Eucharist we celebrate today in this nourishment comes to us in a physical, a tangible way, the bread and wine changed into the body and blood of Jesus. And so if I'm not approaching the sacraments, especially Mass every Sunday and Holy Day and confession anytime I have a grievous offense or even need to wash away venial sins that would bring me in greater union with God, then I need to examine this because my discipleship, it's shaky, it's weak if I'm not putting myself to this discipline of the sacramental life of the church. Those are those first two in the vertical axis, prayer and sacraments. But then we have this horizontal axis, this axis that keeps us united to one another. The two points on this axis, first, fellowship or Christian community. And then the second is evangelization or service, that outreach of my community that brings the fruit of my discipleship to the world. So we'll start first with fellowship, Christian community. If I try to live discipleship just as a solo individual, just me and Jesus, it's impossible. Jesus didn't come for that reason. Jesus, if you read the Gospels, he came to establish a church, a family. And so Christian fellowship, Christian community is so necessary for my discipleship because I can't live it alone. I have to live it in the context of a community, a family that encourages me. When I'm weak, when I don't have it all together, I have someone I've been accountable to and vulnerable to that is then able to encourage me and support me in my weakness. This is why Christian fellowship and community are so important to the life of the Christian disciple. We can't do it alone. We have to have this body that we belong to, but it can't stop there. It has to start and then lead us to that fourth Christian discipline of service, outreach, evangelization. But the Lord is so good to me. He's blessed me in all these ways that I can't help but tell other people about him. I can't help but spread the good news of Jesus, that he is Lord and Savior, that he desires others to come into communion with him. And this spurs me on to service, to laying down my life, to going beyond the four walls of these church and spreading that love, spreading that goodness that God has given to us. Going to the Dorothy Day Center, serving at our St. Peter Claver partnership, serving at Cornfest and signing up, recognizing if I don't live a life of stewardship and giving back, then I'm living a pretty poor existence, that I'm really enclosing myself, and this is the place where I get sick. If I'm not giving, if I don't have some outlet of service and outreach, I'm just becoming insulated. And Pope Francis often talks about this, a church that is insulated and insular and not doing outreach, it becomes sick. It doesn't fulfill the mission for which God has called us. And so these disciplines, brothers and sisters, are ways that we live a greater freedom and discipleship, not only with God, but with one another. He calls us to these disciplines so that we would be strengthened and brought more fully to our target, to our goal. Now, this is what the author says here to Hebrews, that there are things in us that are drooping. So he says, strengthen your drooping hands, your weak knees, make straight paths for your feet. And so I want to invite you to this. This isn't an area of shame, but really an area of thoughtfulness and recognition of these four disciplines. Maybe I'm lacking in one or two or three or all four. And so I ought to start somewhere. I ought to start coming into that routine and practicing until this becomes a place that carries me to my target, towards my goal. The experts, they'd say it takes about 90 days to form a habit. And so if I'm not in the habit of prayer or sacraments, fellowship or service, then I want to practice. I want to keep putting myself to that discipline until it becomes just a routine that gives me greater freedom. This is where Jesus invites us in the gospel today. He says to this person, will only a few be saved? He gives them an encouragement. Strive to enter through the narrow gate. If you want to come follow me, then come follow me. Come imitate me. Come give yourself to me so that I can strengthen your drooping hands, strengthen your weak knees, make straight your paths of your feet. So let's examine ourselves today as individuals, as a community. Let's continue to put ourselves on that path of discipleship that only comes through discipline.